Hello, and welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your prescription for happier, healthier homeschooling. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mother of six. Let's get started.
Hey, homeschoolers. We know that reading is the key to unlocking knowledge. When our child is struggling to read, as mine once did, we get worried. My guest today, Jan Harmsworth, is going to help us relax. Jan Harmsworth is the author of the Easy Reading Formula course. It's new, it's different, and as far as she knows, there isn't anything else on the market like it. It's written specifically for U.S. homeschoolers whose child is struggling to learn to read. And while the stories are about children aged 6, 9, and 11, it's suitable for any age group. I think you will love Jan and hearing how she was able to help many struggling readers with her unique approach.
Jan, thank you so much for joining me here on the Homeschool Sanity Show to talk about teaching reading. Before we dive into that topic, though, I would love for you to introduce yourself and your family to my audience and tell us about your interest in homeschooling.
Okay. First of all, about myself, because that's the easy one. I was a teacher in school for probably about 28 years or something like that, and I mostly taught grades 1 and 2. Because I started off at a higher grade, but I found that reading seemed to be the foundation of all education, and you didn't get much of that at grade 4, 5, or 6. So I went back down to grade 1 and 2, and I stayed there for the rest of my teaching career. I always wanted to be a teacher right from almost the first day I started school at 5 years old, and I never changed my mind. It just simply was something that I was determined I wanted to do. And a lot of things got in my way, family problems and so on. And eventually I did achieve my goal and I loved my teaching. But at about the 28-year point, I felt that what I really wanted to do was focus on children who had reading problems, because they were the ones I had the most strong feelings for, and I began doing private tutoring. And one of the interesting things I found was that the children who were brought to me, on the whole, were grade 4, 5, and sometimes grade 6, but mostly round about grade 4 or 5. And it seemed that prior to that time, parents had hoped that the school would be able to solve the reading problems, or little programs that the parents had downloaded from the internet might fix the problem, and it didn't. And so these children that turned up on my doorstep were almost invariably round about grade 4 level, and the very obvious thing I found, because I always did an entry check with any potential student to see if I could, whether I thought I would be able to help or not. And it very quickly became obvious that with those children, almost invariably, it was the method that they had been learning to read with at school that was failing them for some reason. Their brain just didn't seem to work that way. And I tried during the test to edge them along that path to see how far I could go. And it was obvious that it was not going to work. So those were the children that I worked with. And so I left being what I would call a phonics teacher, which was the prevailing method, and I reverted back to the method I had learned many years previously, which was called whole word. And this, I found, for those children who couldn't cope with phonics particularly well, they seemed to take to it like a duck to water. And it was amazing to watch how quickly these children could develop their reading skills. And the parents were absolutely thrilled, needless to say, because they'd often brought this very reluctant 11-year-old to see me, who, with dragging feet and a face like thunder, who came in the door. And my usual greeting was, "You don't want to be here, do you?" And I'd get this, "No." And so to have progress within a matter of 2 or 3 weeks, mm. a small steps, of course, parents were absolutely thrilled, and so was I, because I was getting the satisfaction, which is what I wanted. So you asked me also about my family. Well, I have my husband, Alan, and he's been a huge help to me and support. He's the one who does all the artwork and all the technical stuff with websites and stuff that I absolutely cannot do and don't want to do. So he's a very important part of my work. I have two adult children who have both families of their own, and I have five adult grandchildren.
Oh.
No great-grandchildren yet, but I'm hoping.
Yes.
So that's my family. My grandchildren have one is a solicitor, one is an accountant, one is specialised in marketing and all of this stuff. So they've all been very successful in their chosen roles, which has been great satisfaction to me, particularly because I taught all of them to read.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yes, so that was my experience of homeschooling, because I found that with all of them, they didn't do well with the phonics system that was operating in the school. And so I decided that I would try what I knew did work, and worked with them with whole word. And sure enough, they very quickly, I call it, got a light bulb moment. And that's wonderful to see that happen with children, where they go from, "I can't do this reading stuff," to, "Oh, wow, I just read that." And it is such an exciting moment for me. I love it. And so that's been really the thrust of my work over the past number of years. So with the homeschooling, with my grandchildren, at that time I wasn't teaching in school, so I had no access to actual reading material, mm-hmm. graded reading material. And so I got some bits from the library, and I started to write suitable texts for the children to read on, because it was obviously a problem to me, which later it dawned on me would be a big problem to parents who were teaching their child through homeschooling. They would also have that problem of not having suitable reading material for their child. And so that set me going on writing my 90 stories, or readers, you can call them. I started off right at the very beginning of the I like these. It's very repetitive. And I take children right back to that very beginning, because even though they're at the age they are, I find it's incredible the amount of misinformation that they have picked up over the years. And it's important to get rid of that stuff, otherwise it gets in the way. But of course, children who are, say, grade four can whip through the first, perhaps, say, 20 stories and have no problems with them at all. And after that, it usually comes to a grinding halt. And that's the point where we really start to get down to the nitty-gritty. And so the stuff that I used to teach the children alongside those stories was the basis for what I put in the course, because it worked for me, and I hoped it would work for parents as well. And people who've trialed it for me have said, yes, it works beautifully. So that's fantastic. I'm very happy to hear that. So that's really been the progress through, from me being a teacher through to being a tutor through to me being a writer of a course. It's been very steady, slow steps at times, I must be honest.
Right. Well, I know the difference between phonics instruction to teach reading and a whole word approach. especially because after teaching three kids to read using phonics, I really do believe that I learned to read with a whole word approach.
Yes, yes.
I don't really remember being taught phonics. But when I got to my fourth son, no matter what I did, I found all these little tricks, like you should sing the sounds, yes. Have them sing like "cat," and I would have him try to slur it together, and literally he would just keep saying to me "cat." And could not put that together into a word.
Absolutely.
And I felt like I was losing my mind. I just thought, what is wrong? Why can't he figure this out? Now, meanwhile, you will not be surprised that what he was also doing is asking me what a word was. And I would tell him, and he would have it memorized from that point on.
Yes. Yes.
And so, as a homeschooler, homeschoolers are very pro phonics, very much so. And I talked to my neighbor, who happens to be a reading specialist, and I said, this is the problem that I am having with my son. And she said, oh, well, he needs to learn to read with a whole word approach. And I said, okay. And I mean, I was very nervous about him coming across new words and without me there to tell him what the word was, him learning, being able to decode those words and learn them. And so I was at a homeschooling convention at that time in my homeschooling, and I did ask, I don't remember exactly who this was, but I asked one of the speakers, should I be worried about this? And I'm very thankful to say that he said, no, you don't have to worry. And as soon as I stopped trying to force my square peg son into a round hole, his reading just took off.
Yes.
And he was just doing amazing. But I am going to tell you, Jan, that I had a very hard time finding materials to use with him as a whole word reader. Okay, so what can you tell us specifically, what is the difference between a phonics-based learning to read approach and a whole word approach? And what kind of materials do we need to have in order to teach with a whole word approach?
Yes, sure. So the most popular method of learning to read today is the phonics method. And in this, a child is asked to sound each letter or blend of letters in a word and join them up to make a whole word. Now, that is the basic way phonics works, to split it like that. Whole word is where the child sees the written word almost like a picture. They see the letters all one after the other in a particular order, and their brain sees it almost as a picture and remembers that, in inverted commas, picture says that particular word. And that is the basic difference. Now, children who learn with phonics also have to learn some words from memory, because you can't sound out words like beautiful and said and come, those sorts of words. You can't sound them out successfully. Also, children who learn a whole word need to be able to sound some words that they haven't learned the picture of, and they need help with that to do so. But part of the whole word method is using meaning in the sentence. After all, when we read to get the meaning from the text. That's what we're reading it for. Now, if a child is breaking up every word into the sounds and joining them up, hopefully, into a word we use, by the time they get to the end of the sentence, quite often they've forgotten what they solved at the beginning of the sentence, particularly if they've had trouble doing it. Mm-hmm. However, those children who are learning whole word, the method works like this. The child is introduced systematically to one or maybe two what we call essential sight words at a time. Once they've learnt those words and can read them, and they have memorized them and put them in what I call a word bank, then they can draw from that word bank at any time when they see that word. Now, the very early books, for example, that I've written start with, and the new first word I teach is, well, everybody knows I, all the kids know I. Mm-hmm. And then we have like. So that's the first word, I like. And so we have I like, and then we have a little picture. And I often do it drawing it freehand, and my art is dreadful, which is why I have Alan. But the children laugh and they understand exactly what that weird thing is that I'm supposed to be drawing. And so we have I like ice cream, I like cake, I like whatever, and I write the words, or I make it with little word cards with the words on, and the child quickly learns I like. Next, I introduce the. Mm-hmm. So then it's, because it's not a word you can sound out, mm-hmm. to doesn't make the. So then it's the. And so they have I like the. So the pictures will be I like the cat, I like the dog, etc., etc. Then I introduce said. So it's I like the dog, said, and the child's name. I like the cat, said, the child's name. And then I introduce mom. So it's I like the cat, said mom. I like the dog, said mom. And so there is so if you can see, there is a progression. Mm-hmm. And each of these new words goes into the memory bank that the child is developing. And whenever they see that, they can call it up and know it. Mm-hmm. So the text that they need to be able to read those kinds of sentences, which in the beginning need to be repetitive, by the way, because a child needs to see a word many times before it's gone into that word bank successfully. Mm-hmm. And if you only half teach it, it falls out again and it's not there. And then when you try and rely on it further down the track, it just is a problem. So the books or the stories that the child needs are stories where there is repetitive text. The stories at the beginning need to be very short, because children who've got reading problems need to get quick success. They don't need 5 or 6 pages long. They need very, very quick. And wow, I read that book. Okay, the words that make the book interesting at the beginning are illustrated. So if it's I like the cat, we have a picture of a cat sitting there. Gradually that's phased out, but there is always a picture at the beginning of a book, so that the child can look at the picture and see what it's going to be about. The other important thing is that the parent introduces a whole word book very carefully to the child, using all the vocabulary that's in there, because this sets the child up for success. And one of the things I've found with children who've had a reading problem is that they need success repeatedly to reassure them that they can actually do this reading. Because up until now, they've been convinced that they can't do it. So that's really important in my book. So a whole word book has repetitive. It has the word that the child is learning repeated throughout the story. I try in my stories to have it at least 6 times in the story, and the story is only 2 or 3 sort of almost paragraphs long. Mm-hmm. And it also uses the words they've already learned, because we have to keep relearning those and repeating them so that they don't fall out of the memory bank. So that is what you get with whole word. With phonics, a phonics text will be something like the big cat sat on the red mat. Okay, so the sentence is often bit stupid. The child will have been told the word sister, and then they sound out the words big, big, and hopefully they end up with big. Mm-hmm. Ka-a-ta, cat, sa-a-ta, sat. Now, at this point, the child who's struggling has already forgotten what they've read.
Right.
So, but for a child who can read well with phonics, there's no problem. Mm-hmm. I've sat with children who can sound out the letters and make the word that fast. It absolutely blows my mind. Mm-hmm. Because it really suits their way of learning. These children seem to be able to do those kinds of things like math, and they're very analytical in some ways in their thinking, whereas the children who are much better at whole word tend to be a lot more wave the hands, airy-fairy, get the whole picture stuff. Mm-hmm. And so one of the quick questions I ask a child when it's first brought to me is, are you any good at jigsaws? And inevitably the child who struggles with phonics says, oh no, I hate jigsaws. And that is a real indicator, because with a jigsaw, you start off with all these parts which you have to put together to make the whole. The child who needs whole word needs to look at the whole picture. And in fact, I'm one of those people. Mm-hmm. And when I was forced to do jigsaws, I had to have the picture right in front of me so that I could constantly keep checking back. Otherwise, I would get nowhere. It would still be pieces at the end of half an hour. So it's very much a matter of different learning styles. Mm-hmm. The child who is the creative, sees the whole picture, is maybe a bit arty, maybe sings beautifully, I don't know, those kinds of children often thrive on a whole word. The children who are much more analytical, they thrive with phonics. And phonics works really well for approximately 70% of the children in schools today. There's some recent research that was done. I can tell you I won't tell you right now. I'll tell you at the end if you want me to tell you.
Sure.
There's been some research, and they say that approximately 70%, it's about 68-70% of children have these more or less analytical minds, which, and that's my words, not theirs, by the way, that are easily able to learn to read using phonics. The problem lies with the roughly 25-30% of children whose brains don't work that way. And for them, it's a constant frustration that they don't get it.
Right.
Okay.
And it just, I'm sitting here feeling so, so sad for those kids, because their self-esteem is just rock bottom. It's reading, and that skill is just so important. It's just such a terrible shame that we are not giving them the right tools to help them unlock the code of reading, because just so many terrible things can happen. And I know you've worked with many of these students. Now, what about dyslexia? What difference does that make with phonics and whole word?
That's a very interesting one. I've worked with some children with dyslexia, but I must admit that they were not severely dyslexic, but they had been diagnosed as dyslexic. And I still found that they were better able to work with whole word than they were with phonics. But it takes much longer for each individual word they're learning to be imprinted into their memory bank. That was my experience. And as I said, I haven't worked with many children like that. I've worked with a number of autistic children. Whole word works very well with autistic children. And mm-hmm. I've found that with autistic children, their perception can be so scattered at times that trying to get them to do phonics is very difficult. But if they can see the whole word like a picture, it's, ah, that says that. Mm-hmm. And they very quickly catch on. And I'm actually working with a little girl at the moment who is, she has quite severe learning disabilities. She's also autistic, and she has various other diagnosed issues. And she came to me at grade four and had made absolutely no progress whatsoever. And in fact, it had got to the stage where she was just allowed to play in the corner at school, and they'd given up even trying with her. And the mother happened to stumble upon me through somebody else and was absolutely fascinated to see this little girl sit there, and within probably 5 or 6 weeks she was reading the very early levels of reading in my series. And she said, when I think of all the time that's been wasted, why didn't the school know about this? And there actually are a number of reasons why schools don't. One of the problems with whole word is that you really need to have small class sizes because you have to have children in reading groups. Whereas with phonics, you can do it with a whole class of 30 or 40 children if you have to. So that is one of the reasons. The other reason is that schools are funded to buy textbooks. And once the powers that be decree which particular method we are going to be using in reading, no money is spent on any other method. I have to say that if the schools used phonics and whole word together in equal amounts, the problem would be solved.
I agree.
They don't.
But they don't. Well, and we are a homeschooling podcast here. And, yes. You know, that's the beauty of being a homeschooler. You know, I am incredibly grateful that I had my son who wasn't able to read using phonics alone at home so that I could, you know, work with him and talk with people to get help, you know, teaching him the way that he learns best. So, you know, we're just so fortunate that we have the flexibility to use whatever materials work for each of our individual children. So, Jan, I'm so interested in your approach, and I am, you know, I am an advocate of it, even though I haven't used it because of my own experience. And I am just ecstatic when I hear from kids who, I don't hear directly from the kids, but I hear from the parents of kids who use my curriculum, and they have begun to love reading, and they have, they become voracious readers, because I'm sure like you, I love books, and probably what I love more than books is seeing children love books.
Absolutely.
It is a joy. It's a joy for me. So can you tell us more specifically about the course that you have created so that if people are interested in getting these materials, what they're going to be, you know, finding in these materials, you know, how are you going to help the parents teach with your course? What's the name of it? Just give us the details.
Okay, so I called the course the Easy Reading Formula course. And I called it a formula because when the parent works with the child, they work through a particular pattern each time. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But along with each story, what I've done is to produce what I call a teaching page. And this lists and explains what to do, what to teach the child before the book is even shown to the child, so that by the time the child gets the story, they've got all the problems ironed out. And so when they read it, they get success. Mm-hmm. Because I say all the way along, my program is built on success. I want the child to succeed from the very first day that they start the course. So it's actually, the course is divided into two parts. The first part is just for parents, and that is a series of videos where they have to endure me talking at them and telling them and showing them how to teach the method. Now, whole word, I have actually broken it into three parts because I find that just learning the word isn't sufficient. They also need to use meaning in this reading, mm-hmm. because that's what we read for. So when a child comes to a word that they don't know, then they look at the first letter, because mm-hmm. I like children to know the alphabet sounds. Mm-hmm. And so then if the sentence said, I like the dog, and there was no picture, and they could read, I like the, and then it's duh. I will say to them, what would make sense there? And they will supply me with perhaps, I like the dinosaur. I like the dog. I like the something or other else, digger. Okay. And then I say, okay, now have a look at the word. It's there, dog. Can you see letters in there that would suggest it's dinosaur? And they'll very quickly say, no, that's too long. Mm-hmm. How about digger? No, it hasn't got ER on the end, and I know ER says and there's not an ER on the end. Okay. How about dog? Yes. And they'll go, dog. And with difficulty probably sound dog. Yes, dog. So we got it. So mm-hmm. I use reading for meaning as one thing. And I also use a very old method of teaching reading, which has a lot to go for, but is not used at all today. And I actually stumbled upon it doing research way back about 1930s, 1940s. So it's that old. And it's called the two with by method. And in that method, the parent sits with the child and reads the story to the child and runs the finger underneath the words as they read, not touching them if it's an iPad or a sort of change pages. And that's always tricky. And so the parent reads the whole story to the child. Then the parent and the child read it together. This time the child is running the fingers under the word but saying the words with the parent. So they're getting it into their head. And if they slightly hesitate on a word that's there for interest, that's fine. The parent just supplies it. I often just hesitate and I'm very slightly behind the child, but just there enough to be able to get the difficult word at least started before, and the child will then supply it. And it's well done and keep on going. And then the last sentence is by, the last method rather, and that is that the child has done the two, done with, and now we do by, and that is when the child reads it by themselves to me, and that's when they get their big reward of the sticker or whatever it is that they're going to get for being fantastic readers. So two with by is a very old method, but with children with learning difficulties or with reading problems mm-hmm. who haven't done well with phonics, it works very well because that's how their brain works. Okay, so that's what happens with each of the books that they work with. So the videos teach the parent how to do those things mm-hmm. because I've just glibly gone across it. But when you actually come to sit down and do it, unless you're a teacher and have some experience, it's not quite that simple. And so I show them and I demonstrate with one of my students who's very reluctantly agreed to demonstrate. but he didn't want to make any mistakes, which was a bit tricky because that was what I was wanting him to do. But anyway, so it's got some demonstrations there. So the videos show exactly how to do it, along with the stories and the teaching activities. The parent gets a quiz at the end, with which are asked lots of little questions, multi-choice, and the answers are across the bottom. And it allows the parent to see whether they've actually got what I was talking about.
Okay.
There's also a summary, which they can use anytime they want to quickly refer back to what they learned. If they're working with the child and they suddenly think, you know, I can't remember what I'm supposed to do at this point, they look up on the summary, and there it is for them. So it makes it nice and easy for them. So they get the videos, they get the stories, the teaching activities, the quizzes, the summaries, and they also get for them to download things like a set of essential sight words. There's probably about five of each word, like I, five, lots of I, five, like, they're in little boxes so that the parent can download them, print them off onto card and cut them up, and they can use those. There's also letters from the alphabet, same thing, so that they can use those, and they use those when part of the whole word part is that children need to be able to write their own sentences. And so part of the course is actually doing that and teaching children how to do it. And I've had children come to me who absolutely freeze at the thought of trying to write a sentence. And I suspect they've got away with copying somebody else's in the class. And now that I'm asking them to do it on their own, it's completely, oh, scary. Mm-hmm. Scary. So we have words that they can use to make sentences. And then as they start to learn how to spell them, this helps to cement the words in the word bank, and it also sets up their spelling word bank so that once they know those words, when they write a sentence or whatever, they have those words at their fingertips. So they get all of those things. Of course, I offer things like indefinite email support. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a whole lot of sort of extra stuff around the edges that the parents can use. Mm-hmm. The nice thing about the course is that the parents don't have to buy anything else. So often with these very fancy courses that I've had a look at, I'm not mentioning any names, but some very expensive ones. Beautiful colours, lovely pictures. I just love them. But the number of things a parent has to buy, they need to be rich to be able to afford it. Mm-hmm. And that's not what I'm after. I just want parents to be able to afford to do this, because if they use one level a week, which is probably what the average one will do, mm-hmm. it's a two-year course.
Okay.
So for 2 years, they haven't got to spend any more money on reading.
Mm.
And they've got everything they need right there.
Mm. Well, that, it just sounds so good. And I hope that my listeners who have beginning readers or are about to have them or have struggling readers will take a look at your course. And I love the name of it, by the way, the Easy Reading Formula Course. And so
thank you.
You are welcome. So can you tell us where we can learn more about the course?
Yes. Website address is www.easyreadingformula.com.
Excellent.
An Easy Reading Formula is all one word.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good.
And so a couple of things else with the course for people to know. They have indefinite access to it. If they want to use it for this child and then the next one coming up and the one coming up after that, that's absolutely fine. No worries at all. The only downloadable parts where they can print it off is the what I call the interesting stuff, which is the word cards and stuff like that. And also on my website, if they have a look, they'll see some what I call, I'm just going to have a quick little mention here. I've got 5 or 6, I'm not sure which now, little ebooks there, just small ebooks of about 20 or 30 pages that really get to the nitty-gritty of various issues that parents have. Things like, what do I do with the others when I'm teaching my child with a reading problem? If they've got, say, 3 preschoolers and the child with a reading problem. Mm-hmm. Things like how to diagnose and fix your child's reading problems. This book actually tells the parent, gives them a diagnostic for them to work through with the child to find out what basic problems the child's got, and then it tells them how to fix those problems. Now, obviously, that's not going to fix everything, but quite often with children, if you can get some of those very basic things out of the way, then it clears the space for them to be able to make some progress.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds so valuable, and I will have the direct link to your website in my show notes for this episode. This was just wonderful. Jan, thank you so much for taking the time to join me. I know you're in a different time zone there in Australia, so I appreciate it a whole lot.
Look, I've really enjoyed talking to you because over the years we've had various little contacts, and you've been so patient with me when I've pestered you for information. So I've always really appreciated that, Melanie, so thank you so much for that. And yes, it's a beautiful time for me. This was between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m., which was absolutely perfect.
Oh, that is great to hear. Well, I have enjoyed getting to know you over the years as well. So thank you so much, Jan.
And thank you for having me.
If you're interested in learning more about Jan's course or materials, go to easyreadingformula.com or check the show notes at homeschoolsanity.com/strugglingreaders. Join me next time as I discuss why we should study geology in our homeschools with Patrick Nury. Have a happy homeschool week. Thank you for joining me. Happy, healthy homeschooling can be yours. It begins with one small step. Let's continue the conversation on social media. I'm at PsychoWith6. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.